Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Brad, I know last week we said we were going to talk about the benefits of staying on property at Disney, and we're still going to do that, but I wanted to open up with a question I have about these new lights that they're putting on Spaceship Earth. If you've seen the Disney news lately, Spaceship Earth is getting these little lighting packages at each of the, each of the places where the geodesic shape, triangle, whatever things meet. So there's going to be these little lights all over. And I have two questions about these. The first one is, what are these going to do? I assume they're going to do some sort of like sparkle or twinkle or something.
So, Jeremy, the way that lights work is they emit energy at a frequency that your eyes can perceive. And that energy can be reflected off of other things to give you the ability to see those things. So lights, yes, that's what lights will do.
Okay. Well, next question.
Okay. So on to the next. No.
I assume these are going to twinkle, like, and kind of just make Spaceship Earth into this kind of glittery, sparkly. I don't know. There's so many of them. Like they're everywhere. And it's kind of funny seeing all these photos, these close-up photos of these lights. Man, Spaceship Earth is dirty and, like, rusty. And it's kind of sad to look at really, really close up all the, like, the textures of it and stuff. It's like, I mean, it'd be really hard to keep that clean all the time. But you don't often see people taking pictures, from... zoomed in to where you're right up on these little points of light on Spaceship Earth. But do you think these are going to just twinkle? Are they more like spotlights? Like, does the whole lighting package glow? I don't understand, because they look pretty big. I mean, they look like they're 4-6 inches across. But, like, it seems too big to me to be, like, twinkle lights. But I guess when you consider how big Spaceship Earth is, they're really not big, and maybe that is what's going to happen. I don't know.
Okay, Jeremy. So here is the part where, in post, you're going to cut, because I'm about to share with you a TikTok where Disney explains how these lights are going to work. So I'm going to share it, you're going to look at it, and then we're going to immediately come back with your take on it after having watched this TikTok that will be in the show notes.
A TikTok, Brad? I'm sorry. I can't watch this. I'm not 15.
You'll find a way.
Hi, I'm Jason from Walt Disney Imagineering.
Hi, I'm Jason.
Have you seen the new art for Spaceship Earth? We're adding points of light, and this is the fixture that was created by Walt Disney Imagineering.
I mean, so it is pretty big. Like,
it's going to shine out.
Yeah, it's bigger than you would think, because it's really hard to get a good feeling for things without
communication and
connection. But now you're seeing how it can also come out the sides and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And so now when you look at those images, because I think the other thing to take in here are the images that Disney shared as part of what I think the first time we saw these was around D23 or whatever, of the new Epcot, where you saw the new fountain, and then Spaceship Earth lit up, which at the time maybe seemed like a bit of artistic license. But no, that's what they want it to look like.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, As much as having points of light on Spaceship Earth seems really cool, and I'm excited about that, I'm super excited about it being able to emit out of the sides of it.
Yeah, that is cool that it's going to go through the, I don't know what you call those, the channels.
I think channels is a great one for it. So,
but okay, so my second question, I did not realize that my first question had already been answered, but my second question is, how do you think they're going to control these? Because these are retrofitted onto Spaceship Earth, and it doesn't look like they have any sort of, well, they obviously don't have any sort of like built in point where they're like screwing this light package onto a data connection. So how are they going to control these, or did they?
No, they ran the data connection with the power. This is all going to be DMX.
You think? When did they do
100%.
That is a huge job.
But you've got after hours to do it and everything. It's the same. It's whenever you're installing these lights and stuff. I mean, there is a lot of time for those sorts of projects to be done.
I want to know what that looks like, because you see the outside of Spaceship Earth, and then you go up inside of Spaceship Earth. But what does the inside of that outer surface look like?
The inside of the outside, as it were? Yeah.
Because I would, you know, it's hard for my brain to reconcile how many of those lights there are and how huge Spaceship Earth is and how you could possibly have that many connection points. My initial thought was that these were all battery powered, because they're almost certainly LEDs. And you could put a big enough battery in them to last a year or two, I'm sure, with how big that fixture is. I mean, you need barely any LED to shine, because LEDs are stupid bright now. And so you could diffuse a single LED and then have five more or whatever. And that's not very much power. And so I guess my thought was, in order to save money, these were all just LED powered and maybe like controlled by RF. Like they had a little RF board or something in them that they could like hit a button on a little remote or whatever and turn them on and off. Or maybe they had one inside. I don't know. But it just seems wild to me that there's that many, if it's DMX, like you're saying, that there's that many, one, power connections on Spaceship Earth, and two, data connections on Spaceship Earth. That is nuts.
Yeah, I don't think that all of that stuff is there, you know, or was there, but I think all of it could pretty easily, all things considered, be added.
And also one thing I had not considered is this is permanent. This isn't like the year 2000 celebration where they put the big arm,
yeah, because that wasn't permanent at all, or all the little stars on it or anything like that. So I will also share with you, we'll also put it in the show notes, that Disney actually, when they put this in place, also did, you know, because Disney is all about social media. So we've got the TikTok and then also an Instagram post about, you know, beginning the installation of these lighting packages, and you can kind of see, you know, somebody up on a crane or actually just a lift putting one of these in place and everything. So yeah, that it's definitely gonna be a lot of work, but as a permanent thing, which Disney has said it will be, I think it's awesome. I love this addition to Spaceship Earth, so I'm super excited to see it, and Yay for more lights, I guess.
Me too. I mean, I think this is going to look incredible. Especially, like, Spaceship Earth is beautiful at night with the current lighting package. I absolutely love the colors on it at night and how it looks from the World Showcase. But to have Spaceship Earth actually emitting the light instead of having light wash on it, I think it's going to be just a major upgrade.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, I don't think they're getting rid of the washes. I think it's going to be additive.
Yeah. Right.
So this is going to accentuate what's already there, which, yeah, I think, again, I honestly, you know, and probably I should have paid closer attention, but honestly, when I saw those artist renderings or whatever of New Epcot, you know, and saw the Spaceship Earth stuff, I thought, man, that looks so cool. But Spaceship Earth is not nearly so reflective at those junction points that it would look anything like that. And now that I see the lighting, I'm like, okay, well, that's how they're going to get that. And yes, that, you know, and I guess the other side was, then when I saw them putting the lighting in, my first thought was, okay, well, that takes care of the points of light. But, you know, another really cool thing about the artist rendering was the light in the channels, and seeing that these things are designed to light the channels as well. Like, just everything, you know, probably much better than my idea, which was to just stick a whole bunch of rope lights in those channels. You know, I think you could probably get that much on Amazon. But
you know, I just found another Instagram post from Disney that said they went to Spencer's Gifts and they just did not have enough rope lights. And so they did have to come up with a bespoke solution, because they tried to buy all the rope lights from all the Spencer's Gifts in Florida. And you know, Florida's got a lot of Spencer's Gifts, but it just wasn't enough.
That's a shame. That's a shame, because it would have been so much easier to just do the Spencer's Gifts idea. But
well, I appreciate you schooling me on things that I guess I could have looked up myself. But I am looking forward to that. I think
it's
way
more
really
fun to discuss it on the podcast.
I think it's really going to be a beautiful addition to Spaceship Earth. An attraction, and also just a monument, I guess, a physical thing that I'd love to look at. It's going to be great. But now, on to the benefits currently, as of 2021, of staying on property at a Disney resort hotel.
And from that, the is it still worth it to stay on property in 2021? So, Well, and we will have to slightly look forward to 2022, right? Because
sure,
one of those benefits goes away. It is already limping along in 2021, and is going to be worse off in 2022, as in non-existent. Because that would be, and we'll just start with this, Magical Express, which if you've listened to our podcast at all, you know we believe that is a huge benefit to staying on property. Though, as we have discussed, the biggest benefit to that benefit is the luggage service. And the luggage service has been suspended for reasons, pandemic related, I think originally was given, but it's still not back yet. So I am honestly wondering if that's ever even going to come back.
Well, and
because we're now like, 6 months away from it and them not needing to worry about it anyway?
Yeah.
Are you going to spin up all that stuff again just for 6 months?
No, I don't think they are. Let's roll this point into, and this is Disney's wording, that one of the benefits of staying on property is that you're in the Disney bubble. And the only reason I want to roll this all together is because this was perhaps the biggest thing for me. When I told people that they should stay on property, this is what I was talking about. The Disney bubble. Because one of my favorite things about going to Walt Disney World was dropping my luggage off in, you know, my starting city, and showing up at my hotel later that day and my luggage being there, and then dropping my luggage off at my hotel on my last day, and it's showing up at the airport. So, like, basically, Disney taking care of everything from the moment I step foot into the airport to the moment I step foot into the airport back home. That was the biggest thing that I would tell people. And honestly, that's probably the biggest thing about being in the Disney bubble. Is that, like, they do take care of everything. They took care of the luggage and getting you there, and everything was there was a Disney touch in every step of the process. And the only negative part of it was security at the airport, you know, but they had a little hand in everything. And even though it was a Mears product, you still got to watch the little Disney video on your way from the airport to your hotel. And It was great. And yes, you do get to take, you know, transportation from your hotel to the parks, and there's other aspects of that bubble, but DME was such a huge part of it and such a unique part of it that no one else provided or even, like, I guess my assumption is no one else even dared to try to coordinate that Like, I can't imagine how much of a logistical pain Magical Express was for Disney. But this is what's most disappointing about DME going away, is this whole Disney bubble thing isn't there anymore. I mean, you now that whether Mears Connect is a acceptable solution or we're all just going to get Ubers from the airport to Disney World, it is now this thing where, like, I'm in charge of getting myself from the airport instead of Disney saying, you know what, it's included in the cost of your vacation. Let us handle it. You're off the hook.
Instead of saying we got you, which really right. should have been their slogan. You're welcome, Disney. Go ahead and use that. Oh wait, you can't because you don't got me anymore. Yeah, the bubble. I'm not going to say burst with the changes to DME, but
it has certainly deflated.
Yeah, the bubble's got a leak. So DME was a advantage to being staying on property. And then you have a lot of things that are still there, though. Again, the bubble maybe is deflating, because another big staying on property advantage was EMH. And EMH is not a thing right now. And even before, like, EMH has become less and less of a thing. I personally think with time, because EMH has become more and more crowded. And as somebody who doesn't use a park hopper, honestly, the data has shown that, you know, EMH days tend to be the busiest days at that park. And I don't really know that I want to commit to a park that's going to be busy, you know, its busiest for most of the day just for the sake of EMH, when honestly, a lot of people are still there now during EMH. So don't get me wrong, I do still think EMH is a benefit. I just don't think it is as a big of a benefit as what it was before. And now that benefit is what, after hours, or yeah.
You're there 30 minutes before the park opens is the new EMH thing. Like, I think if you're a resort guest, you get to go to the park 30 minutes before it opens. And that's kind of your deal, instead of, you know, an hour or two after. And I can tell you that Disney travel agents do recommend that you schedule your park days based on what the extra magic hours are, because I got told that, like, when planning our days, you know, we were like, we want to go to Epcot on Tuesday, and she said, well, you know, Epcot's got EMH on Wednesday. So not that that's bad. I mean, I think that's a smart thing to tell people, but I think that's why it got so busy on EMH days, because Disney's official stance on it seems to be like, hey, tell people to get to the parks on those days that EMH exists.
Yeah, and I think there's maybe a bit more benefit there if you are if you're doing park hopper, because you Absolutely. Can hop to that park during EMH, and, you know, there's probably still some benefit there. Busier than what it was.
Do you think Disney just expects that everyone's doing park hoppers? That seems like kind of a you're the weirdo if you don't do it type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think they think everybody sees the benefit to park hopper, and why would you not want to have the freedom to visit all of the parks, sort of thing. I think that is the customer that they are targeting with a lot of their stuff. They're not concerned about the single park ticket holder nearly as much, right? So, yeah, I think that is the case. I don't think that EMH explicitly is trying to target that, but as a side effect, you know, it's happening anyway. So EMH, FastPass Plus reservations, you can do those, 30 days out or something like that?
Yes, yeah, 30 days out for those, and then I don't even know what you put slightly earlier dining reservations. I don't actually know what the dining reservation.
It's an extra number of days comparable to the number of days that you're staying at the resort, up to 10 days.
Oh,
so
okay.
So if you have a 6-day six nights at the resort, you can make your dining reservations 66 days out instead of 60 days out.
Interesting.
So it's not, you know, so it's not a huge event, but if you want to dine somewhere that's really, really popular, it's definitely an advantage and a benefit to staying on property. But so the dining reservation, as far as I know, still a thing right now. The FastPass Plus reservation, of course, not a thing. Hopefully to be a thing again very soon. But yeah, those are advantages you get if you are taking your own car. And I put this in here because I could see this becoming more of a benefit in the very near future, aka when DME is no longer there. You get complimentary parking.
But not complimentary hotel parking.
No, not complimentary hotel parking. Remember, they did away with that. We had that whole discussion about, oh, well, it doesn't affect everybody because most people are using DME. yeah, that was a nice way of backdooring that one in there, Disney. But you do get complimentary park parking, and that is essentially $22 a day that they are spotting you if you have your own vehicle. And for a value resort, you're going to pay $15 a night to do overnight parking. So there's definitely a bit of savings there. Whereas you used to get free Magic Bands, you now get Magic Band discounts. So a Magic Band is less expensive if you want to get it. I think I saw someone saying as cheap as $5. I didn't actually price those out. But yeah, you can still get a Magic Band. That is still a thing. And then the last one that we have here that's, you know, we've got some less tangible benefits, I guess, but that you can have purchases delivered to your room. So if you go buy something at a store, and quite honestly, this is a pretty significant one to me, being able to say, yeah, have it delivered, though not to your room if you're at a value resort. It's going to be to the, what is it?
The gift shop.
There you go. The gift shop at the resort.
It's moderate, too. Unless, at least it was last time I stayed at a moderate resort. They delivered it to the gift shop there as well.
And that can actually be kind of a pain because you have to be at the gift shop during the gift shop's hours. And if you leave really early in the morning to go to the parks and you get back late at night, you might find that you don't always have a lot of time to go to the gift shop and go get your stuff. That's been my experience.
The biggest problem is, like, how big Coronado Springs and Caribbean Beach are. I mean, there's only one gift shop at those resorts, and it is a hike. If you're not at one of the closer buildings, I mean, it's a hike back there. And you have to really, you know, make a special trip to want to get your stuff. So that is a perk that we use every time we buy anything. Like, even if it's something small, we send it back to the room.
Absolutely, because it's still way better than having to carry it around with
you
for the rest of the day.
So I'm aware of its downfalls, but at the same time, like, I use it all the time because it is so nice to be able to go in and, like, I want to get this shirt and I want to get, you know, like, this little thing for my kid, and I want to, like, you just get two or three things, mugs even, you know, mugs especially, if you want some mugs or something breakable. They wrap them up really well at the store, and they put the little tag on it, and the next day it's at your the gift shop or your room. And so it is, even if you have to go to the gift shop, it is way more convenient than carrying it around. And you know, like at Pop, they drop everybody off at the same place, and you have to go through the gift shop. So it's really not so bad. But again, if you're getting back very, very late, you're gonna miss the gift shop.
Yeah, you're gonna walk through and be like, oh, look, the gift shop's closed, so I guess I'm not picking that up tonight. Yeah.
That's not a real detriment at a value, because I believe all the value resorts just have one stop where all the buses go. But yeah, it can be a pain, but not even close to as much of a pain to carry around everything you want to buy. Because I can tell you, I would spend a lot less if I had to carry those purchases around. Because Claire and I don't take a bag. So it would be, you know, carrying a Disney bag around, the little plastic bag around for, you know, to dinner or to wherever we were going. Because normally once we leave the hotel, we don't go back until we're done. So, yeah, it can be a pain, but that is definitely a very important perk.
Right. And it's worth noting that even if you're staying at, you know, a Caribbean beach or Port Orleans Riverside or something like that, most of those hotels that have multiple stops will also, like, you could ride the bus from your stop around to the gift shop stop or some, you know, to the main building stop. So
sure.
If you don't want to hoof it, you have some options. So yeah, it's a perk, but those are really the tangible perks. Outside of that, you would put down immersion and in quotes themed rooms.
These are Disney's. If you search for what Disney is selling as a perk of staying on property, immersion, which is Disney says immersion is a separate thing from the Disney bubble. I don't agree, but yeah. So immersion, whatever that means. And then themed rooms. There are some very well-themed rooms. We talked recently about the new Moana-themed rooms. There are some nicely themed rooms at Caribbean Beach. Pop.
Heck,
Pop
even, has, even the Pop Century rooms are have a fun theme to them.
Pop has a really good theme. There are a lot, if not most, of the rooms at Coronado Springs that if I sent you a picture from inside of the room, you would not be able to tell that I was not at a Best Western or a Holiday Inn. Like, they are motel rooms, and that's pretty much where it stops. Like, there is no theming in those rooms. So
there was not the last time you went.
Right,
so
right.
Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they've stepped up their game there. But yes, it was pretty nondescript the last time you were there.
The reason that's in quotes is because the theming in a lot of the rooms is weak. And while there are very well themed rooms, you know, I'm really excited that we didn't talk about it, but the whole Contemporary Resort right now, I think right now, if not very soon, is closed. Like, all of the rooms are unavailable while they are rethemed to Incredibles. So, like, I think you can still go eat there, but literally every room in that hotel is unavailable while they retheme them, which is crazy to me that they would basically shut that hotel down completely to retheme it.
You know, you're still not at full 100%, so if you're going to do it, now's a good time to do it. It's probably,
yeah,
what they're thinking.
I guess so. But yeah, that's the reason it's in quotes, is because you tell me these rooms are themed, and yeah, some of them are, but some of them, at least, I will say, are weak at best,
and
plain at worst.
And then the final point that Disney had was that they have rooms designed for parties of five, whereas most hotels only offer rooms for up to four people, which, I mean, is a legit thing. And I've been in one of those five person rooms, and it does what it says on the tin, you know. But I also feel like while Disney is right that there are a lot of hotels that only offer four in a room, around Walt Disney World, I don't think it's nearly as hard to find a room that can facilitate five people, in that, you know, they bring in a trundle bed or something, which is essentially all that they do at Disney too, at least in my experiences. Yeah. With a five person room,
I think that they're probably more referring to like Art of Animation, maybe, where the rooms are suites and they're made for multiple.
You can I
families.
See your point, but they definitely, you know, sold Riverside as a room for five. Oh. And that was two queen beds and then like a fold down bed for the fifth person, and our family, okay, used it as such. So yeah, I mean, that's not a thing. I'm just not sure about, you know, listing that as an on-property perk. So I guess for me, the biggest on-property perk is transportation. Like, I'm
the Skyliner throwing, specifically.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. When assuming that I don't get stuck in the sky, because
not
that'll
having
be
to
the
worry
last
about,
time I do it.
Not aside from the horrible pain it is to try to go from a park to a park or a resort to a resort on the. I guess not a park to a park, but a resort to a resort on the bus system. the not having to worry about how you're going to get where you want to go is very nice.
And then having to park who knows where and then trying to jump on the tram. And then if you're at Magic Kingdom, then jumping on the monorail or the ferry. Like there's a lot that can be involved in transportation. So I think transportation is a big benefit. Outside of that, the only other thing that really moves the, like, honestly, EMH doesn't move. It used to. Doesn't really move the needle for me. FastPass Plus extended reservation doesn't move the needle for me at all. I've had so much luck with doing FastPasses during the day that I don't see that. The earlier dining reservations I've never really needed. Magic Mountain discounts, if they weren't giving them to me for free before, I wouldn't have taken them anyway. The only other big one for me is the purchases that can be delivered to your room. But pro tip, you can also have those delivered to the front of the park, and then you could pick them up at the front of the park at the end of the day. And so it's not nearly as good as having them at the gift shop or at your room, but it's still at the front of the park.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so you can still do all that stuff and not have to carry it around with you all day. So, I mean, so then we run into transportation, which I don't know, because here's the thing. Transportation is a huge benefit. There is no doubt to that. But I was just pricing out, my potential next trip to Disney, which is going to be, sometime in early 2022 is what I'm looking at right now. And essentially an 8-night stay at Pop Century, because I could not find anything that had All Stars availability. Sorry, guys. I tried for quite a while, just wasn't there. But 8 nights with All Stars after tax, $2,167. Okay. So then I went to Orbitz and I said, let me try to find a hotel that is at least 4 stars. And is within five, they have it listed as within 5 miles of Disney property, right? So it is going to be pretty close. And the Sheraton Vistana for the exact same dates for 8 nights with a, 4.4 out of 5. And this is with the resort fees and all of that stuff tied in, comes to $1,332 for the same period of time. So you're talking about 2167 minus 1332, $835 is what I am paying for Disney transportation.
Well, when you think about it like that,
and I'm just not sure, as much as I love staying on property, I'm just not sure $832 is worth it for those things. When EMH wasn't as crazy as what it is now, when DME still offered you getting your bags, and like that, the bags was such a huge benefit, man. I'm pretty sure I remember before that was a thing, but now that that's a thing, that's the only way to do it. Oh gosh. I don't know. And now here is the other side to that is I have experienced driving myself to and from the parks. It's really not that bad in my personal experience, though it's not nearly as convenient as getting on a bus to do it. But I just, like I said, I don't know. But I will say that that is only if you're, if you've only got, 4 people, if you've got that 5th person, all the math changes. Maybe it's better, but Jeremy, I think I might be staying off property for my next Disney vacation.
Yeah, I'm even trying to be the devil's advocate, like bright side kind of person about this kind of stuff. There's really, man, with Uber being as cheap as it is and for even renting a car being not that expensive, like for $800, there's a lot you could do with $800. Gosh,
that is a lot of fillets right there.
Yeah,
that is a lot of fillets. Now, if you want to get some more of the benefits, one way of doing that is to get a Good Neighbor hotel. And for the same period that I was looking at, a Good Neighbor hotel would cost me $1,700 for the same time. So then we're only looking at $465 that I would get to save. But it's still $465 that I would get to save, you know? So it's just, yeah. I don't know, man. That's a lot of money. Now, I was looking at an 8-night stay. So essentially that is the difference between a Good Neighbor and Disney's hotels. That is $50 a night that I am paying for, or $50 a night that I'm paying for transportation.
And I guess that's assuming parking is free at the hotel and all that stuff, but even...
Well, yes. Okay, so... actually, that's assuming parking is $15 or less at the hotel.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Because, remember, I'm going to have to pay $15 to stay at Disney...
True.
...to park my car at there.
True. And it almost certainly would be less than $15 a night.
I don't know. I saw some of these hotels that were like $21, $22. But even then, you're talking about... You know, over the course of it's going to be $50 or less. That's really not going to move the needle here.
Brad, parking is such a scam.
Oh, definitely. It's such a scam. Dude, look at any resort around Disney and look at the pricing that they will display everywhere. And then in small letters, plus resort fees. And then go look at what the resort fees cost. Yeah. So, no, it's all a scam. But, oh, man, I'm trying to convince myself that it's worth staying on property, and I'm having a really hard time convincing myself it's worth it to stay on property now, man.
You got to forget about the value of money and just think about the fun you're going to have.
Which is honestly what I tell people to do a lot of the time when it comes to Disney stuff, right? Yeah. Because if you start thinking about the money and you go to get souvenirs, or you go to do something, or... You go to what? Go to just going to dinner. If you're worried about money, it's going to make you miserable.
You're going to have a bad time.
Right. So you do have to kind of stop thinking about money, but that's a lot of money, man. And I think that ultimately what it kind of comes down to is what you're getting for it.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure that that's worth it.
Well, I look forward to seeing what you decide, and if you decide not to stay on property, that'll be
hearing about my trip update and telling you, no, stay on property, always stay on property.
Yeah, just what the difference is, because I've never done it, so I don't actually know. I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast. You can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Until then, have a magical day.